Welcome back to the Narrow Pod Between Pages, the daily podcast where we read a page of The Narrow Road Between Desires, and then we talk about it. This is page number 154. The boy nodded at Bast as he came to the top of the hill, then he looked down. You okay? Glancing down, Bast was surprised to see a few dark streaks of blood dripping from his hand. He brought out his handkerchief and daubed at his knuckles as elegantly as a duchess brushing away crumbs at dinner. "How'd your hand get hurt?" Little Pem asked him. "I was attacked by four bears," Bast lied breezily. The boy nodded agreeably, giving no indication of whether or not he believed Bast. "I need a riddle that will stump Tessa," the boy said. "A good one."
"You smell like Granda," Pen chirruped as she came to stand beside her brother.
Wilk ignored her. Bast did the same. "Okay," said Bast. "I need a favor. I'll trade you. A favor for a riddle."
"You smell like Granda when he's been at his medicine," Pen clarified brightly.
"It has to be a good one, though," Wilk stressed. "A real stumper. Show me something that's never been seen before and will never be seen again," Bast said. Wilk said, looking thoughtful.
"Granda said he feels loads better with his medicine."
And that is the end of the page. I'm John from Vintas.
I'm Joy.
I'm Patrick.
This is so, like, I'm going to use a Nick term. This is super verisimilitudinous with, like, small children just, like, being on their program and, like, they've got something they want to say and they're going to keep saying it until you listen.
Absolutely. And it does say at the end of the previous page that Pem, the younger one, was half his age, three times the mouth. And that that just tracks very much with what's going on in this page.
Yeah, no, this is great. I love this a lot because this very much feels, this resonates to me strongly of like my 4-year old.
Also, it just has the feeling of like, you know, this is happening so often that they're not trying to even humor her.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Continuing the conversation.
She's just been put on mute in their heads. Like, you're there, but I'm not listening to you.
When you were reading, I was controlling myself from laughing. The little voice was so funny. Loved it.
The voices were very good.
"You smell like Granda." That was
so that says to me that it's confirmed that Bast was wrecking up the still in between the chapters here.
Was he wrecking up the still, or like that? Like, I feel like Bast is clever enough that he could wreck up a still without injuring his hand.
Well, it could be multiple things. I think that he was, the smell like Granda is because he smells like liquor.
Yeah,
right. I agree. He definitely
and that
smells like
that
liquor.
Indicates to me that he was wrecking up the still.
Okay. Yes. Yes. Fair.
And it can also be that he also beat the crap out of Jessam. It could be both.
Why not both? Indeed. Speaking of little girls who say cool things, why not both?
Exactly. So yeah, I mean, I think it's very likely that he did both things in the interlude between the chapters that we did not see.
We don't think he hurt his hand helping Nettie catch some bees.
It says it's like skinned knuckles, or it doesn't say it's skinned knuckles.
Yeah,
but it's like it's blood that's
dark
coming
streaks
from
of blood dripping from his hand. So I think that's probably unlikely to come from retrieving the hive. There are ways to do that safely.
Checking.
And also, bee injuries don't usually produce blood; they produce painful swelling.
Right.
Sure. And also, I actually learned recently that a wild place where bees live is called a nest. A hive refers specifically to a kept area where bees
wow
are. So okay, like a box where you keep bees is hive.
And this has been another segment of Science Corner,
apiary corner with Patrick not Rothfuss.
But yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Best science thing.
I mean, I have some things. As Jordana says, I have things.
Yes.
Do you have other things?
I do like the idea of the riddle.
Yeah, I was just about to go there. Do we, any of you guys, not cheating or not remembering from Lightning Tree, have any idea of what this is? Because I don't remember it from Lightning Tree.
I don't think we get the answer in Lightning Tree.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. So what I remember from Lightning Tree is that Bast has the beginning of this, and then he sends them off, he sends the kids off to, I think, search for a fairy stone. And then, well, where he's actually sending them to is to find where Jessam is kind of passed out after he's just had the crap beaten out of him.
Ew.
That's what I remember from Lightning Tree anyway. And like the kids just don't come back.
What okay. I think I remember is that he's like, you traded for the riddle. What do you want to trade for the answer? Something like
yes. Yes. That's right. What? That's what it was. Now, yep. Yep. Yep.
Oh,
yep.
You're so smart, Joy.
I'm not sure about that. Just,
she's just read Lightning Tree a bazillion times.
I just read
it. It does sound right now that you say it.
I think that's what happens.
Although I believe that you are also very intelligent.
Thank you kindly. So what do we think the answer to the riddle is? Show me something that's never been seen before and will never be seen again.
I don't know. Like the trite answer is like this moment right now. Right. Like that's kind of stupid and obvious. And I don't think that's the answer that we're looking for.
Show someone this moment.
Yeah. Like I said, it's not a very good answer. It's just the one that comes to me off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's the only thing that I get, too.
I mean, you could argue that the me you see right now is ever changing, and therefore the current me will never be seen again because next moment I am different. But
that's some pretty high. That's a pretty high tone ontology from a bumpkin 8-year old.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it is, but
yeah.
You could argue that.
Ship you, of you Theseus. Could. I don't really. Yeah. Anyway, okay.
So basically, we don't know the answer.
No.
All right.
No, we don't. Unless you have thoughts.
Oh, what we do have is a letter.
Ooh.
Okay. Yeah. You want to? I suppose we could get to that.
Who's got the Discord open
and easily
available there?
I gotcha.
Okay, sweet.
All right, so this letter is from Magically John.
Yay! Magically John needs like a fairy dust musical cue.
Magically John writes, Dear NeuroPagers, on today's episode, page 125, you talk about how it is odd that Bast mentions that winter is coming when it is only midsummer. Midsummer would mark the point when you begin to head towards the next winter and you are no longer moving away from the previous winter. Magically, John.
That's a great letter, and appropriately, we're recording this episode on the spring equinox.
We are, which is very nice.
Good point.
Yeah, so that's definitely a good point. I think that is,
I mean, it's an argument. But, it's an argument you could make, but I don't know how much, like, when it's, like, just now, like, literally today, we started, like, you know, counting the days now, like, summer is like at its high point and now we're headed towards winter. It's a little bit like saying, you know, we're all in the car now about to go on vacation. Like we're basically already in Florida.
We're basically,
I don't super buy that, but
well, I mean, I guess at least in the context of saying winter is coming, we're usually trying to like, prepare ourselves for something. Remember to prepare yourself for something that's coming later. So, you know, at least it makes sense. Although
sure, at least it makes sense.
Like a little tongue-in-cheek reference that he snuck in there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, I'm pretty sure we mentioned it on the episode, but there is the Winter is Coming, of course, is a reference to George R. R. Martin, who coordinated the group of short stories that this was originally published in, and the Lightning Tree was published in.
Since we mentioned George R. R. Martin, and we haven't mentioned this yet, and I don't know if they've mentioned it in the on the main show either, we're going to include, as a bonus for you, dear listeners, today, a very delightful song about George R. R. Martin, about how he should write faster, and we'll put that in the show notes. It's hilarious. There's also a version about it about Patrick Rothfuss. also, we can include that one too.
There was a Reddit post a while ago that was parodying the part in Name of the Wind. It was like, it'll take 3 days. I'm quite sure of it. But it was like someone talking to Rothfuss and be like, it'll take 3 decades. I'm quite sure of it.
That's funny.
It was really well written and funny.
We will certainly be back in not 3 days or 3 decades, but yea verily tomorrow on another narrow page.
Narrow page.